May the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Holy One. Amen. So before we start, I'd like to mention Erica's painting again. And throughout this sermon or homily, I'm hoping that you will contemplate the word contradiction. It's uncanny that this one of 800 sermons I wrote this week to try and get to today, which Helen knows deeply, there's contradiction throughout the whole speech. So please contemplate that. And what a thrill it is this morning to be able to preach on John 3. Imagine the most famous, I think, or at least commercialized saying of God so loved the world, he gave it his only son. You've seen it on bumper stickers and posters and skywriting and everything. So, guess what? I'm not preaching on it. So, there you go. You thought you knew. But I think we'll visit one of the incredible nuggets that you can get out of this reading. And it's very transformational to me. When I read it, there was one sentence that stuck out for me, and we will get to that in a minute. But to put all this in context, I'd like to share an example of what happened in seminary. We had to get into little groups and do studies of the depth of the Bible. And this one morning, it was about being born again. And we struggled with that. We talked about it and we thought, how do we present that? How do we understand that? How do we let other people understand that? And a very good friend of mine, David Greenwood, I don't know if you remember David Greenwood, wonderful man, became a chaplain for the Navy of Canada. He was just lovely. He was brilliant, extremely, extremely smart. And he sat there and we're struggling. It's an hour into it. And he said, "Oh, for heaven's sakes, life's a mystery. Kiss my ring and off you go." And it just reminded me. And I thought, thank you for breaking that serious head intellect thing of trying to figure out what was going on. And life's a mystery. Off you go. I love that. So we went to lunch. It was great. So this is our challenge this morning as we explore the struggles of Nicodemus. He sought Jesus's wisdom in a whole new way. But first, let's find out who Nicodemus is. He was a Pharisee, and a Pharisee is a member of a very influential group of politicians who adhere, kind of politicians, who adhere to both the written laws of the Torah as well as the oral laws of the time. Pharisees were unmoving. This is what you did, and this is the way it stayed. There was no room for compromise or thinking outside the box. So they separated themselves from the general population and practiced strict piety and ritual purity. And they were considered an elite group of religious leaders. But he was also a member of the Sanhedrin, the Supreme Jewish Legislative and Judicial Council of Israel. And these men were judges, kind of along the same line of in the box, at the same level of judges that took the fate of Jesus to Pontius Pilate. That's how high up they were. So we see Nicodemus as a very important and public individual. So why visit Jesus, who he ridiculed, and by all who else ridiculed with Nicodemus? Why did he go there? Why was it dark? Why was it private? Nicodemus struggled with the intellectualism of the Pharisees and the legalism of the Sanhedrin. He'd seen Jesus teach, and it challenged his thoughts and practice. So we see him visiting him at night in secrecy, in the darkness, which, by the way, is symbolic of the darkness that he felt in his heart. Because it was a meeting in the dark of night, it was assumed that he was curious about Jesus's teaching, but was still very worried about what others would think of him. And when Jesus spoke of being born again, he was certainly confused. He came for answers and was confronted by a mystery. How can one be born again of the womb? I must admit, for years, I believed that he was meant to criticize Jesus with this bold question of rebirth, just like the other Pharisees did. But I now see that it was said in earnest as a true indication of one seeking the truth. Jesus saw Nicodemus' earnest and responded with wisdom. The most stunning example of these two men talking quietly in the night is where I personally learned the difference between being materialistically religious with one's intellect and being inwardly spiritual with one's soul. And as this passage indicates, the soul is the Holy Spirit. And here's the nugget, the gem. It's the wind. Something you can't see, but you can feel. Jesus says the wind blows where it wishes and moves according to God's will, not human demand or manipulation. Ruah in Hebrew, pneuma in Greek, means wind or breath, representing the life-giving grace of God. Living by the wind means living by the Spirit. And Jesus quietly explained this to Nicodemus in ways that he will understand and embrace. Now, let's think about the wondrous movement of air for a minute. We can see leaves move, a result of the wind. We can see sails bellow because the wind is pushing it forward. We can see, open a window and you can feel the curtains moving. The wind moves and moves us. It is such a symbol of us being able to not see something but be moved. Did you ever feel the breeze across your face? It's heaven. So many today believe that the wind is the earth's breath, a messenger encouraging people to sit in the wind and feel the connection to the divine. The wind changes whatever it touches. It encourages us to simply trust. Don't try to control it, but let it guide us, renew us, lead us. Perhaps to lead us from the religious legalism of our intellect into the spiritual transformation of God's grace. We see that transformation, that metaphoric transition from darkness to light, as Nicodemus is mentioned again later in the gospel, and only mentioned in John, by the way. But he's mentioned again after Jesus' crucifixion. He helped Joseph of Arimathea lay Jesus' body in the tomb. I didn't know that. He brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes to anoint him. And I read in one place that he brought 75 pounds. That's an awful lot for one person, but there it is. And because of his devout act, he lost his position as a Pharisee and Sanhedrin. And he eventually was banished from Jerusalem by the Jews, the legal Jews. However, he lived a transformed life, not just doing religious practice, but by living faith-filled, blessed with the grace of God. And you know, we at St. Dunstan's have an astounding congregation. We actively search and experience the Holy Spirit deeply and with conviction, together as a family. No one is left out. No doubter nor weary seeker is frowned upon. Yes, there's some days we could be like the Pharisees and just go through the motions, kiss the ring, and move along. I myself have felt this on occasion, honestly, and wonder how I'll ever get back to feeling that connection with God again. Sometimes the service, sorry, Carol, the hymns, nothing to do with the preaching, nothing, or the communion, just sometimes doesn't touch me, and I don't know why. And sometimes the world just becomes too much, too negative, too angry, too hopeless for me to feel God's presence in my heart. But as Jesus explains to Nicodemus, the wind, The wind, the Holy Spirit, is always, always, always present. Knowing this, we can simply shut it. We can't shut it out or push it away. It means to be born again, to realize this, and let the wind, the Holy Spirit, carry us where it may be and therefore transform us. This morning we're inducting. We're recognizing several people into various services of the parish. They are examples of putting their spirit in action. The Bible declares that faith without work is dead. This morning, I'd like to transpose that and say that the concept of work without faith is dead. That just going with the flow without wonder is life without spirit. But these individuals who are being recognized this morning wonder about the Holy Spirit moving within them, like the wind, and are faithfully wondering about their own journey with Jesus as servants of the parish. You, this family, this congregation, are blessed with the Holy Spirit. We are all spiritual beings who walk our faith openly and thankfully. This morning, I thank Nicodemus for being so timidly bold, asking the hard questions. I thank Jesus for providing the way to being born again in sacred words that I understand and can embrace. And I thank you, my brothers and sisters in faith, who are being recognized this morning, and each and every one of you, for being stewards of the Holy Spirit. May the wind, the ruah, the pneuma, the breath of God, bless us all today and always. Amen.